God. We need to preach of thus that the Lord preached the whole counsel of God, so that we can fulfill the purpose of preaching and teach them of thus that the Lord. Teach those that are lost in sin what they need to do in order to be saved. This is exactly what Paul was saying as he's writing these first three verses. But now let's notice, if you will, the next few verses, the power of preaching. The power of preaching. Read with me, if you will, verses 5 through 13. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is power in preaching. We believe that there is power in preaching. I'm asking, do we believe, members of the Crockett congregation, do we believe that there is power in preaching? Absolutely. There is power in the preaching of the gospel. The gospel that Paul preached is the same gospel that we preach. It's not a dead letter. It's not a fictional story. It's not a fictitious tale. But it's the message of power. What did Paul say in the beginning of this letter, Romans 1:16? He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If we want to be saved, if we want our families, if we want our friends, our neighbors to know what they must do to be saved, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to teach and preach the gospel. They need to hear these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says the same thing. It's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, it's the dunamis. It is that which is all powerful. Paul gives now this contrast between the old law and the new law. The old law was a law that would have required those that living by it to make would have to be perfect. If they wanted to live according to the old law, they would have to live the perfect law. The sacrifices that they were making, Hebrews 10 and verse 4 tells us, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats would take away sin. Therefore, they would have to live the type of life. Making those sacrifices, they would have to live the type of life that was perfect. They would be able to stand before Christ, the righteous judge, who's going to judge all men, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 tells us. They're going to have to stand before him as being perfect, not committing any sin as they go through their life. There was a word that was nigh to them, even in their mouth, it was the word of faith. It was the same message that was preached. Look with me, if you will, what we just read. He says, there's a righteousness which is of faith, speaking on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? And notice verse 7 says, who shall descend into the deep? He's saying, who's going to do these things for us? The joy about the gospel, the joy about salvation that's been offered to us, is we don't have to do these things, brother. We don't have to go down into death. We don't have to go into heaven searching for Christ. Christ came to us. Christ came. He took upon the role of a servant, Philippians 2:5, Paul tells us. He died for the sins of mankind. He shed his blood, which was the New Testament that shed for the remission of our sins. He established the church. Now we have these words to tell us all that we need in order to be saved. So notice the Jews would not believe. They would not listen. They wouldn't listen to the word that was near to them, the word that was in their mouth. they wouldn't listen to this message that had been preached. Notice the different times that the Jews rejected this word. They heard it preached by the one in the wilderness crying out, being John the Baptist, preaching about Jesus Christ. They rejected Jesus Christ who came in the flesh, speaking of his deity, telling them that he's the one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. They rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the preaching on the day of Pentecost. We'll talk more about that tomorrow also. 3,000 were saved on that day, and we glory in that fact. But yet, there were still so many, we don't have the number. They rejected the preaching of the gospel on the day of Pentecost. They rejected the preaching. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, all of the apostles, as has been said, have died the death, had to die the death of a martyr. Why? Because of the preaching of the gospel. All were rejected by the Jews. Guess what that means for us? They're going to reject John the Baptist. They're going to reject Jesus Christ. If they're going to reject the apostles, why are we going to get offended when they reject us? Why are we going to wear our feelings on our sleeves and become upset when we talk to our friends, when we talk to our family, we try to tell them about the gospel, we try to take the time to sit down and teach them the things that they need to know, but yet when they reject us, we get our feelings hurt. They rejected Jesus Christ. They're going to reject us sometime. But yet there's going to be those sometimes. There's going to be those 3,000. There's going to be those later in the book of Acts, we read about the 5,000. There's going to be some that have the good soil, as Jesus would teach. Some that will receive the seed, of which Luke 8:11 tells us is the Word of God. Some who will receive the Word, will receive the seed of the Word, and they will obey the gospel. The power of the preaching of the gospel was different from the old law, as Paul was writing about here, because it has the power to take away sin. It had the power to save people from their sins. The old law, it required a yearly atonement, rolling their sins forward to the next year. Hebrews 10 and verse 4, we read this or quoted just a moment ago, it's not possible that it will take those sins away. There had to be a continual atonement made for those sins. This word was in their mouth, it was in their hearts, and if they would confess Jesus, then they would be saved. Because it is with the heart we believe and with the mouth we confess. And this is not teaching a false doctrine, a faith only, belief only, confession only. What is being said here? Paul, why are you saying these things? Why are you saying that if we confess Jesus, then we'll be saved? Who is he writing to? He's writing to a group of Jewish people who would not confess. He's writing to a group of Jewish people who we've already read, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, as a stumbling block put before them of Jesus Christ. They would not bring themselves to believe that Jesus was the Messiah that the prophets talked about. But here the Apostle Paul is telling them, if you'll get over your stubbornness, if you'll get over your ignorance, and if you'll study the things that we're saying, if you will confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and obey the things that he's told you, then you'll be saved. The gospel has the power to save. The preaching has the power also, both to the Jew and to the Gentile. There's no respecter of persons with God, Romans 2 and verse 11. One of the prophecies that was made about the coming of the church, the coming of our Lord, Joel 2 and verse 32, is that all people would be made one. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered, as the Lord has said, and the remnant of the Lord shall call. Joel 2, verse 32. That this is mentioned again in Acts chapter 2. It's one of those prophecies that are being spoken of. But it says, whoever calls on the Lord will be saved, whether Jew or Greek. Calling on the Lord, what does that mean? Does that say that we're calling out, Lord, Lord? No. It's synonymous for obeying the gospel, obeying the commands that we've been given. Remember Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord there is being a reference to baptism. church believe and confess. So what can we take from all these things? Calling on the name of the Lord is obeying the commands of the Lord, obeying the things that He's told us. The gospel that we preach, it's needed in these areas. It's needed in our community. It's needed in the Lord's church because it has the power. It has the power that's lacking in the Catholic catechisms. It has the power that's lacking in the Baptist handbook. It has the power that's missing in the Methodist discipline. It has the power to save our souls. No other gospel, no other man-made doctrine, no other book will tell us about these things. The Book of Mormon will not tell us about these things. The quote public Quran will not tell us. Only the Bible, only the gospel has the power to convert our souls from a sinner to a saint. And then finally, we see the plan for preaching, verses 14 through 17. How then shall they call on Him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report, so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Since the gospel can save, because there are lost people in the world, what are we going to do about it? The Apostle Paul says, since Israel is lost, you have a desire that they might be saved. What are you going to do about it? Well, Paul addresses the same issue. How are they going to call if they and believe if they do not hear? How are they going to hear without someone to preach and to proclaim it to them, as we read in verses 14 through 16? Tell me something that you've never heard. Teach me something that you've never studied. Can you do that? How can someone obey the gospel that they've never heard? How can someone obey something that they've never had anyone to teach them? The lost in our communities will not learn the gospel on their own. Only one time, dare I say His name, but I don't think that He would be ashamed for me to say His name. Well, I'll say it from saying His name. But only one time have I ever heard of someone coming into the building because they've studied on their own, saying, I want to obey the gospel. Only one time. I'm sure there's other times where people have done these things, but how many conversions do we know of in our lifetime have happened because someone preached or attempted to talk them the gospel? They're not going to do it. They're not going to come simply by us standing here in these pulpits, which say, come hear my lesson in the morning, I guess, and we'll talk more about those things. But the lost in our communities will not learn the gospel. They'll not stumble their way into salvation. They'll not find the Lord's church, that pearl of great price, unless we preach the gospel to them. There's always been a plan for preaching, always been a plan for declaring God's word, getting His word to the people. Think about it for just a moment. Think about the different dispensations. The word was given directly to the patriarchs. The word was given to Moses so that the people could have the law of God. The word was given to the prophets so that they could cry out to a rebellious nation, telling them everything that they needed to do to repent. Jesus Christ was sent to teach those that were there. The apostles preached the good news. And just as we know, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 and other verses tell us that the responsibility is laid upon us to preach to as many people that will listen. If I could use what I just said as kind of a way to talk about now some services or some things that we've done. How many of us have one of these? How many of us have a smartphone? How many of us, if you don't have a smartphone, do you have a computer at your home? Do you have an iPad? Do you ever have maybe grandchildren that do? And guess what? We can take this service tonight. The things that we've said. Hold this phone out here like this right here. Look into the little camera, the little dot right there. 3 minutes, a little bit longer. I've been up here for about 30 minutes now. We can hold this camera out here. Record everything that's being said. put them on YouTube, put them on an internet website, put them on Facebook, and like that, millions of people around the world have now had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Well, one of the things that we're doing at Lux Oklahoma Church of Christ, I'm not saying that it's something that everybody has to do, and I'm not saying that it's something that we're right and you're wrong, but it's something that as we now live in this world, this technological world, we have to learn how to meet the needs of the world. Well, something that we're doing so that we can get the gospel out. Well, we're taking advantage. Facebook. We just started a Twitter page. I can't believe I'm saying that. We just started an Instagram. Why would you start an Instagram? Ask the young people in the back what the Instagram is if you've never heard of it. I guarantee you there's some young people that know what Instagram is while we're trying to figure out how to log into our Facebook page. Ask them about Snapchat. Can you send out a 10-second message telling other people to come to service? Absolutely. There are things that can be done as far as technology is concerned, and maybe if we take the time to listen to the young people, they'll be able to teach us a few things. They'll be able to teach us things that we can do. But think about what the Apostle Paul was saying. There's this plan now for preaching. We have to plan our preaching, do we not? We have to plan, be very methodical. You think about the fact that we're fighting the fight of our lives. We're fighting against the evil. We're fighting against Satan, our great adversary. He has ways of using these same things that I've just talked about to corrupt our young people's minds, to corrupt our young adults' minds, to corrupt our, I don't know what you call them, regular age adults, whatever you want to call them, but the older, all of these things are in place to corrupt our minds. But the same things that are in place to corrupt our minds, we can use them for good, to help and preach the gospel. All we have to do is take advantage of them. We have to plan these things. Take time to plan what we'll preach. Take time to plan what we're going to sit down and talk to someone about if we're given the opportunity to start a home Bible study. We have to know, as thus saith the Lord. We have to be ready always to give an answer to any man that asks us a reason of the hope that's in us with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us. As Paul is concluding his thought, he concludes his thought by giving the results of what happens when we plan our preaching, when we understand the power and the purpose of the gospel. So then faith, by the American standard says, so then belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we begin to take advantage of the things that we have, the things that we've been given, the written word, the table, the saying our soul, if we use all of these things together, what's going to be the result? Some will be saved. Not everyone will be saved, but some will. Some will take heed to the things that we're saying. Some will maybe get on the website, get on the internet, get on YouTube, and look at these things. Take heed to what we're saying. They might not do this in a public setting such as this. Maybe on their own time, they'll study, they'll take heed to the things that we've been saying. The remainder of chapter 10 and chapter 11 of Romans will point out the fact that the Jew not believed the gospel. And it will be preached also to the Gentiles. The Jew was not here, but that was what offered them salvation. Many today will not obey the gospel. They will not hear the gospel. But some will. Only obedience to the gospel will save us on the day of judgment. Therefore, it's the greatest need of the Lord's church. Let us understand the purpose. Let us understand the power. Let's take the time to plan our preaching so that some might be saved.